powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Yesterday was a gorgeous day in Seattle, unless you were a Seattle Mariner. Bump, that's where we're starting the show, so let's get to it. Julio was a pinch runner on an off day with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Y'all already know where we're going. We're not rehashing the game, but we are going to talk about Julio and about what's going on with this team. You already know what happens. Julio's picked off, and it ends the game. Mariners lose 3-2 and drop the series.
And the pitch on the way. No, a toss over to first base, and safe at first is Julio Rodriguez. Holy smokes, that was close. Julio was leaning towards second. He's able to dive back to the far corner of the bag. The throw looked like had him beat.
No. The call on the field is overturned. The runner is out.
Oh, no. What a disappointing, heartbreaking loss for the Mariners this afternoon. The call is overturned. Instead of being safe, Julio Rodriguez out, picked off by Alzolay, and that's how this game ends.
Let me tell you what, Bump. A walk-off walk to end a game with a win is fun boring. Throwing a pinch runner out to end a game is sad boring. I was not happy with the way this one ended.
No, that was frustrating. People are going to highlight Julio in that situation, and I understand that's the last thing you saw. So you're going to say, what was Julio thinking? And I could imagine a lot of old ball players sitting on the couch saying, that would never happen if I were in that position. Yeah, I get understanding. Something that fascinates me about that situation is that baseball is the only sport where you can, like, check out. You're not playing, I'm checked out. I'm rooting my team on, but I'm not staying ready. I didn't play many NFL games, but wherever my coach was on the sideline, I'm standing right there like a puppy just waiting to get in. Like, hey, in case you need me, I'm right here in case you need me. In baseball, these dudes are sitting there, sunflower seeds, playing dugout games, and then you get a tap on the shoulder. Hey, Julio, hey, we need you. We need you to go out there and run. So then he has to lock in and get ready to go. Everyone knows why Julio's out there. He's the best base runner we have, and he's going to try to steal a bag in that situation.
So you like the choice of pinch running.
Yeah, who else are you going to put out there? You put anybody else out there, I'm thinking, why didn't you put Julio out there? So you went with the right move. He just got picked off, man. But there were other things that happened in this game, just like a basketball game, a football game, anything. It's never just one play that loses you the game. But because of the struggles that Julio is having, naturally people are going to jump on him. But I think here's the thing. Some of the criticism is deserved. He's not having a start to the season that we expect and that this team needs to accomplish all the things that they want to accomplish. But just to narrow it down to that play, I think it's silly. But I understand the frustration. That's like, you know, the icing on the cake. Like, oh, of course we get thrown out at first base to lose this one.
You mentioned Julio's not having the start to the season that he wanted. Let's get to that and then talk about the team, because you're right about both points. Julio wants to come through in clutch moments. This is the first fascinating thing about all of this. Again, the Cubs series is done. You got a series coming up against the Reds. We're not recapping this series. We're not even yet previewing this series against Cincinnati. We're just talking about Julio, and we're talking about what's wrong with this team. So three things. One, like I said, Julio wants to come through in clutch moments. He said it himself.
I mean, I feel like I expect myself to come through in those situations. It's not like it's something that if I come through, I say, like, oh, my, like, I came through. It's like, no, I expect myself to come up to the plate in those situations and deliver for the team, because I don't know. That's what I prepare for. And I feel like every time that happens, it's just something that I expect for myself.
Point number two, unfortunately, he has not been clutch at all. You're paying him a ton of money, throwing your hopes on him. I love watching Julio. I think he has star power. He has more star potential than anyone on your roster. But this is his season, Bump. Slashing 186, 238, 203 with a 441 OPS. One extra base hit, which was a double on opening night. All others have been singles.
Yeah, he had a clutch moment early, and we're like, there we go.
True.
We see it.
All right, let's go.
And then he's kind of falling off a little bit with everybody else. With two outs, two outs, he's batting .071. He's got an OPS of 204. With runners in scoring position, all right, Bitmo bet, he's averaging 300, has an OPS of 664. He's had 10 at-bats with runners in scoring position. So what I do, I went back and I look and say, all right, if he has 10 at-bats with runners in scoring position, a guy like Mookie's got to have like 20, right? No, Mookie's got 11. A guy like Altuve has 11 as well. So it's comparable to other good hitters in this league. So I'm looking at Julio, and And then I go, all right, well, if he's not coming up clutch, right, at least he could be hitting the ball hard and maybe he's getting unlucky there. Negative. He's got a 42% hard hit rate right now. That's right now. Last year, it was 52%. Year before that, it was 50. So we can expect him to hover around 50% if and when he gets going. But you're right. It's about those clutch moments. No one's really coming through clutch right now.
No.
So we're going to focus on Julio because he is the best player on this team. But it's not just a Julio thing. This is a whole team type of thing. But when you're number 44, when you're getting paid the big bucks, when you are batting second in the lineup, you are expected to come through in the clutch, and he's just not being able to do that. Again, I forgot what podcast I was listening to. They're like, look, we're approaching that I'm concerned type stage, right? Early, I guess we can still say that. Go ahead and light me up on the text lines if you want to. But we're shifting towards that, okay, maybe this is just who this team is right now, and how long is it going to take for them to climb out of this? But to help a team climb out, your star has to lead the charge, and we just have not seen that yet.
Well, and you're right. And, you talk about going towards the concern stage. I mean, there was a game that Julio had, I want to say, against Toronto, where he was 0 for 4, but all four were hard-hit balls, all over 100 miles per hour, and they were just outs. And it was an unlucky game. And that was a game that you look at it and you go, he's hitting for power. He's not making every correct swing decision. But ultimately, this was a game where the ball bounces a little bit differently. Maybe you don't have a good defensive play. And he gets a nice little single or he gets a double and it's a better day for him. That was an isolated incident.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of his at-bats have been more concerning than that. He hasn't been hitting for power. He has not been making great swing decisions. This is not a start to the season where you look at the stats, even the advanced analytics, and go, oh, he's just unlucky. He's just not lucky. He's actually unlucky. This is a start that does not look good, where the stats, including advanced stats, do not reflect the quality of player that he is. That's why it's concerning.
Yeah. I was talking to one of my buddies, Orion, this weekend, standing on the sidelines watching my son play soccer. And when we're talking about all these baseball stats, he's a baseball guy, grew up playing baseball, played college ball. And I go, man, these stats are wild, man. He's walking me through what he thinks about this, that, and the third. He goes, end of the day, man, they just got to hit the ball hard. You got to hit the ball hard and good things are going to happen. We got Goldie last week trying to convince us that, hey, man, they're trending in the right direction. I don't want to trend. I just want to see it. I want to see it consistently. I want to see it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I want to see it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Forget the stats. Sometimes the stats, they tell you the truth, but they don't tell you the whole story, really.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we rely on the stats to predict what's going on. At this point, I might forget all that noise, man. I don't care if you're not hitting the ball hard and you're not making great swing decisions. But now it's just time to play. It's just time to execute. And someone needs to lead the charge. I've been waiting for this all season. A guy who has kind of been leading the charge. I mean, we'll get to the rest of the team later. Mm-hmm. But Julio needs to be the guy to lead the charge. It's nice for other guys to step up in moments. But the pressure is on Julio. And this is, I think this is, in his young career, this is a place he hasn't been. He struggled before. We've seen that. All baseball players go through struggles at some point throughout the season. But the expectations for him this year were higher. You got people saying he is a candidate for MVP. You got people saying this team could be World Series contenders, and he hasn't looked like an MVP. This team hasn't looked like World Series contenders. And then how many games are we in now? 15, 16?
Yeah.
How many? Something like that. And now it's like, all right, we've seen
16.
All right, we've seen a little dose of what this team is. And the consistency just isn't there. And it's because you've changed the identity of this team so much, right? And we were convinced you changed it for the good. Eliminate strikeouts. Don't worry about the power. We're going to get on base. Strikeouts still there. No power. Not getting on base. So it is concerning, man. And I want for him and for this team for things to be turned around and for Julio to lead the charge. Because if not, you're going to start hearing some whispers and people turn on athletes really quickly.
And that's why we're moving on to talking about the rest of this team and some of those bigger issues that you highlighted, Bump. Scott Servais was asked plenty about Julio after this game, and I think there were a lot of fans that were really angry, understandably so. Julio, you got to be a little more heads up than that. But Scott Servais knows what's up. Julio is not the reason. They had many opportunities to take the series and win this game, and they didn't.
You know, the whole day you're sitting there thinking we just need one big swing to get back in it, and we got it with Polo hitting the home run, and then they gave us an opportunity to take the game in the series. We just didn't go grab it. So that's the frustrating thing about it. You know, we had guys on there, the double play balls, obviously the ball in the seventh that Rayleigh hit, did what he needed to do. He did hit the ball very hard. He just hit it right at him, and then in the eighth inning, had another chance, and we weren't able to take advantage there. So disappointed. I felt we should have won the series.
That's exactly right. Let's go to the seventh. In fact, you got two on. Chicago's up 3-2, and Luke Rayleigh grounds into a double play. He mentions the eighth inning. We'll go to that. You got bases loaded after walks from JP, Josh Rojas, Jorge Polanco, and then Ty France grounds into a double play. You had two opportunities there to knock in a number of runs. And the same issue that's haunted this team for the past several seasons, average with runners in scoring position, becomes an issue. So, Bump, when we're talking about this morning, what's wrong with Julio, what's going on, and we aren't quite sure how to answer the question, an even greater concern is what's going on with this team.
It's the squad. You always start with the head, right? You always go with the GM, the skip, and the best player on your team. And that is a responsibility that just comes with the territory that they are in. So you always start there. And then you start looking at everything else that's going on. And like you mentioned, seventh inning, my guy Luke ground into a double play. Mm-hmm. Nerese walks three, and then France comes up, grounds into a double play. A positive, and then you get some positive in the mix, too. In the sixth inning, you got Polanco hit a two-run bomb. And then Art, but don't forget, the guy who's been balling for you, France goes 0-for-4 on that day. And then to start the game, Castillo looks all right, but then he has a throwing error to first base. Rojas almost had a throwing error to first base. It's like you take two steps forward and three steps back with this team right now. It's not just Julio, but you have to start there. It's the double plays. It's the fielding that's been suspect. It's the pitching that's been suspect. Even though Castillo did walk away with a quality start, his command was a bit better, but obviously it wasn't enough to get the job done. It's a plethora of things going on. And then to make matters worse, your power hitter on this team, Canzone. If I told you Canzone was going to be the power hitter on this team this year, Stacey, you probably would have laughed at me, and I would have lost my job.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. To make things worse, my man's in the outfield trying to make a play, makes the play, comes up, shoulders jacked up. Moves are going to have to be made. We're going to shift some guys around. Nothing is going right. You see one positive, then you see a negative. And also, can I point out, Canzone, stick your hand downfield for that wall, bro. Like, my man was running like he had another 5 yards of space. I'm looking at this like,
oh. That's dedication. Bump and sacrifice.
Hey, he made the
play.
He went across the middle of the field. He knew Ray Lewis was sitting right there. And he said, you know what? I'm going to get hit anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well catch it. That exemplifies all the things that are wrong with this team. Even when you do something right, it still feels and looks wrong.
I like you mentioning kind of like that philosophical transition. Now, I think that Scott Service, if he was here, would go, well, our philosophy has always been the same. It's control the zone. Like, dominate the zone. Like, that's been our philosophy. That hasn't changed. But I think if you're looking at a team building philosophy and the ways that you want to score runs, essentially,
mm-hmm.
You're right. They did this like one season transition between, we got Teo, we got Gino, we got all the Julio, Cal, and they can all hit for power, but we're going to strike out a ton. And, you know, that comes with the territory when you try to hit a lot of home runs. And guess what? I'd rather have home runs in the postseason than not. And then all season, we kept seeing comments from people because Cleveland was having a great mm-hmm. season playing small ball and doing a little bit differently. And it was a story. People were like, oh, man, like, you know, you got to think about how Cleveland's doing this. And then Curtis mentioned it before we started the show that this kind of like one season transition works if you're getting on base and driving in runners,
mm-hmm.
but falls short when you give up power and then don't actually gain, you know, hitting for contact or driving guys in.
Yeah, it's a really vicious cycle they find themselves in where it's like, I don't know if they can string enough hits together at this current moment in time in order for them to kind of give up the whole selling out for power approach that they've had for the last couple of seasons. It stinks that they're in this place, but there's really no other way for them to get out of it than to just swing their way out.
Right, and I'm curious to tomorrow when we have the dugout talk a bit more about what's going on with hitting, because it is this natural instinct that I have to take a step back and go, well, if every kid's failing the class, is it the teacher? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You take a step back and you look at if everyone is struggling, is it an approach with your hitting? Is it an approach with your coaching? Is it an approach? I don't think it's like Scott Service. I don't think there's a problem with looking at analytics or matchups. That's what every team does in baseball. But it is this natural inclination to go, well, what is it?
You look at the teacher, right? And the teacher in this situation would be DePoto. And remember last year, though, I'll give DePoto this. Last year, maybe it was last offseason or maybe during the season, he constantly said, I didn't put the right guys out there. All right. I know we lean on the 54% comment. I know we lean on just the roster in general. We lean on how much he was able to spend. We felt like he did a good job with what he was able to work with. But end of the day, you start looking at him and saying, all right, you got this wrong again. Up to now, there. Now, I've been in classes where everyone is struggling, and then the teacher makes adjustments, and at the end of the season, the A students are where they need to be, the B is where they need to be, and then the guys who just don't care are going to be in the bottom with those Ds and those Fs. There's still time for them to do something, and maybe this move they're making in AAA, bringing a young man up, is going to be that. It's a lot to ask for that young man. We'll talk about him later, but now we'll say, what do you do now? You've moved France up in the order, okay? He had a game where it was like 2-for-4, I think, on Saturday, but then went 0-for the other night. You gave Julio a day off and said, look, man, get your mind right. Let's chill. You bring him in a pinch run. Doesn't work out. Now you're going to have to make another move. Canzone is out. It's all about adjustments. So now what adjustments are you going to make? And in baseball, there's only so many adjustments you can make. You're not going to throw away the playbook and say, let's change our whole approach now. No, you built this team to execute a certain way. They're not doing it. Now what do you do after this?
Well, that 21-year-old outfielder is kicking off Headline Rewrites. We're going to dive into it more at 10:30, but you're right. So let's get to this story.
Headline Rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, yeah, the Mariners are set to call up 21-year-old outfielder Jonathan Clase to replace the injured Dom Canzone. What's the real headline?
A 21-year-old isn't saving the day. And Bump, I find myself torn between, which was my alternate headline, being really excited to see a new face and more, you know, pieces from this farm system, and also wondering if this reeks of desperation.
It feels like both, because you knew this young man was going to get called up eventually, right? He's the number 10 prospect on the Mariners farm system. He does have 1,400 plate appearances. It's not like my guy's under 500 and they're just throwing him in there. He does strike out a bunch 25% of the time. I saw him described as a aggressive, energetic player that excites and frustrates you at the same time. Sounds like
That's
a young
fun.
Ball player. Sounds like an athlete. All right, excite me more than you frustrate me, and you'll fit right in with this team, because they've been frustrating more than exciting. We shall see, man. I think this is a reach. But at 39 ABs this year, he has a 308 average, 404 on base percentage. Mm-hmm. OPS is over 1,000. I mean, on paper, it looks good. On paper, it's okay. Let's see what happens. But if Canzone doesn't get hurt, you know he's not being called up. So I think this is a bit of desperation, but also it's just an accelerated process because of the situation that you're in.
Headline number
really,
two.
Really? Finally, we're done with this.
27-year-old Scotty Scheffler became a two-time Masters champion on Sunday after he cruised to a four-stroke victory. What's the real headline?
Welcome back, Bump.
Hey, nice of you guys to allow me back into my seat.
Hold up in your home, just man. Watching the Masters for hours.
I got kids that play sports, so I've been driving, either listening to it, watching on my phone on the sidelines, but I've been locked in, and Scheffler's doing his thing, man. He's got three wins in 2024. 8 top 10 finishes. He's first in FedEx Cup standing. He's first when it comes to greens and regulations. He's 6th when it comes to proximity. You know what that means, Stacey? He's on time and he's close to the pin.
Wonderful.
Every time he hits that thing.
That's all you can ask for.
34 consecutive cuts made. All right, and 36 consecutive rounds of par better. He is dominant right now. My man is balling. He looks 40, but he's 27. That's why it works on the golf course. Big ups, Chef.
Matt, don't transition to the next headline just yet, but can we please get back to the regular bed here? I'm so done with this Masters music.
I love it when the strings kick in. It's like wedding music.
You guys, come on.
The strings. Hey, wait for the drop. Wait for the drop.
I'm so annoyed with both of you right now. And you, Matt. And you. You're controlling this. You're the maestro behind the scenes. Well, I want to bring up some headlines that I was seeing, because my headline was initially going to be, is he one of the best we've seen since Tiger? I don't know as much about golf as you do, but I was, you know, reading up on Scottie Scheffler. This is a number of headlines that I was seeing. Let's see. Scottie Scheffler wins Masters in fashion never before seen, including Tiger Woods. Scottie Scheffler's Masters win brings him closer to a level of dominance not seen since Tiger. Is Scottie Scheffler the new Tiger? So many comparisons, naturally. What do you make of the comparison?
Man, I get it. He is dominant right now, but Tiger was doing it on a whole nother level. My man got over 80 tour wins, 15 major championships. By the time he was 27, the numbers that Tiger had just poo-poo on Scheffler. So stop comparing him to Tiger. He ain't there yet. I know some of you youngsters saw my man struggle this weekend. It's not about Tiger struggling, okay? He made the cut for the 24th time in Masters. That's a record of Masters history, okay? So respect your elders. I understand you got this new guy coming up, but he ain't even like LeBron when it comes to Jordan yet. Like, he's balling. He's consistent.
Yeah.
But to do what Tiger was doing in his prime, I don't think we'll see that.
Stacey, you mentioned the number of cuts in a row that Scheffler had made. I think it was like 32 or something like that. Tiger Woods has the all-time record of 142.
That's the thing
straight.
Is, I think, so the reason that I think Bump rightfully started getting kind of like riled up about those headlines is because it while he may be one of the more dominant golfers we've seen since Tiger, it doesn't do Tiger justice in how dominant he was. Like, that gap is still massive.
It's a massive gap. Big up, Scotty, but this is what we do, though. We start trying to compare the greats in the moment to the greats of all time. He's got a lot of work to do, but is he controlling the game right now? Most definitely.
Matt, can we please move on from this?
Headline rewrite.
Headline number three, the Seahawks finally added some depth to their offensive line. They signed veteran offensive lineman Laken Tomlinson to a one-year deal. What's the real headline?
Let's see if this patchwork boat can float.
That's a great way to describe it, because he was drafted in the first round in 2015 by the Detroit Lions. He played five seasons for the San Francisco 49ers, did make a Pro Bowl. 2022, he signs with the Jets, right? This is going to be his big payoff, a three-year deal. But he posted his worst PFF grades in 2022 and 2023. In 23, he gave up seven sacks. I'm not saying that this isn't going to work. I'm just saying that there's a reason why they're giving these guys one-year deals, these 30-somethings one-year deals, because they got to see if you can have that bounce-back year. I like the move because you get a veteran in that room, and I think you need that, especially with Damian Lewis going to the Carolina Panthers. I like it. Now, I don't have high expectations for him. Just be solid. Like, that's all we're asking for, honestly, here is a solid offensive line with at least the same five or six guys in that rotation throughout the season. Good signing. I like it. Let's see if he can get rejuvenated and bounce back.
One of the biggest questions we will be asking ourselves and of this team as we inch closer to the draft, now less than 2 weeks away, is whether or not that first pick they use is going to be on that patchwork offensive line. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We're getting back to Jonathan Class A. The Mariners calling up the 21-year-old outfielder, but will it be a fix? Don't go anywhere.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events, school family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability, service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stream every Seattle sports show with the Seattle Sports app. Brought to you by Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Mariners reportedly making a move. We already know that they're going to have to call up somebody. Service made that clear last night, saying they'll probably have to make some roster moves as a result of Dom Canzone's injury. He ran into that outfield wall. Well, that call-up, according to ESPN insider Kylie McDaniel, is going to be Jonathan Class A. He's coming up from AAA Tacoma, a 21-year-old outfielder. That is a pretty aggressive call-up considering he has just 12 games with AAA. But he's otherwise been amazing. 79 bases stolen between single A and double A Arkansas last year. Bump, what do you make of this prospect and of the call-up?
Well, it's for every action is a reaction. I guess the action was Canzone coming up holding his shoulder. Sounds like a sprained AC joint. And you're wondering, okay, what are they going to do? You know, you have Dylan Moore available. He's capable of playing almost any position out there, but you're bringing this youngster. You say, all right, here's an opportunity for us to get a look at him. With an AC, sprained AC joint, I don't expect Canzone to be out very long. He's going to have to sit, but you're experimenting. You mentioned his time in AAA, only 39 at-bats. 39 at-bats, he has 10 strikeouts. But overall, in the minors, he's got 1,400 plate appearances. We'll see. Overall, he has 39 career home runs in the minors. Overall, he has 183 stolen bases. This smells and feels like Sam Haggerty. Like, you're looking for someone to give you a spark. He's not very big. He's like 5'10", 150 pounds. Mm-hmm. Yet, he can hit for power. We shall see on this level. We know the jump is crazy from AAA to MLB. This feels like the year, you and I were talking about this off air, that Dylan Moore and Sam Haggerty won some games all on their own just by making a great play with the ball, going foul and sagging. Remember Haggerty making that catch and falling into the net and all that stuff. Demo hitting bombs to go ahead and win ball games. You needed those type of utility spark type players to get this team rolling. That's what this feels like to me. I think eventually we were going to see this young man. But I think that because of the situation they're in, they're saying, all right, bring him up and let's see what happens. The good part about this is that they're not going to rely on him just to be the guy. He's going to platoon with Dylan Moore. Mm-hmm. And if he gets hot, he gets hot. And you never know, because sometimes young guys come up and just play out of their minds because they don't really realize the situation that they're in. They're just happy to be here. I'm just going to go out there and have fun. I hope that's what we get out of this young man.
He plays either outfield, corner spot, including and center field. He's a switch hitter, which means unless they really, really want to get Dylan Moore out there, I'd anticipate that he'd be in the lineup tonight. I mean, we'll ask Daniel Kramer, MLB.com reporter, who joins us a bit later in the show, what he thinks about that. But we could see him much sooner than expected. We already know he's reportedly being called up much sooner than expected. Ultimately, I bring it up for this. You're right, has an opportunity with his speed to bring a spark. Maybe there's an extra stolen base in there, maybe a pinch run, and you know, you have something really special there. Maybe a single turns into an RBI single, whatever it is. There's also the fun of seeing whether the Mariners can keep a really good farm system going, right? They, like, took a little bit of a hit after debuting so many guys, and you're hoping that they still have this magic touch with drafting and with getting these young guys. The reason this 21-year-old is not going to help you is not going to save you is because he's a 21-year-old who's being called up probably sooner than he should be. What you really need to be looking at if you're a Mariners fan, what the Mariners need to be looking at, what's JP going to do for you? When's Julio going to start taking off for you? Like, when Julio was called up, or not called up, when Julio debuted with the season, at the start of the season, and then when Kelnick was called up in, I think, like, May or something the year prior, there was this anticipation that either of these guys would do something really, really special. It wasn't fair, but I got it. I don't want to lump any of those expectations on Class A. This is a team that still needs its core players, its nucleus, to actually hit and do something.
I got no expectations for Class A.
Yeah.
It's not about him. It's about everybody else. Everyone else has to make him comfortable. He ain't walking into the party not knowing anybody, and he's the life of it. He's the guy that's going to bring everybody together and make the vibes cool. Nah, man, he's the guy showing up just looking to fit in and do whatever he can to help this ball club. You need Julio to get going. Mm-hmm. You need JP to get going. JP's only hitting the ball at a 28% hard hit rate. He was 36% last year. JP is only hitting .059 with two outs. JP's only hitting .167 with runners in scoring position. It's not about this young man. This young man is just a product of this situation, and they're saying, why the heck not? Let's just see what he has. Nothing else that we're doing is working right now. Let's see if he can be a little spark. So, man, I hope these guys come in and they're going to do what they do and embrace this young man and make him feel comfortable. But there's no pressure on him, man. Bat him ninth, eighth, and just see what he can do. If he could translate any of the things that he's done in the minors over the past, four seasons or whatnot, and give us a game or two of some type of production, that's better than what the top of the order has been giving you so far. This series, the top of the order was 1-15 with runners in scoring position. 1-15. You're not going to win games like that. So, no expectations for this young man. Go up, have fun, enjoy your time here, and then when Canzone gets healthy, he'll be back in the lineup. But if maybe you find something and he goes and he balls out, then we shall see. But I'm not expecting anything.
If you're wondering when we will see Sam Haggerty, maybe why we're not seeing him now, Justin Hollander has an update.
Hags, we're just looking to get Hags some more at-bats. Sam missed almost all of spring training and was really sporadic dealing with the personal medical thing in and out of games in spring training. So we'll get him some more ABs in Tacoma on the rehab and then hopefully activate at that point.
He's not ready yet. You're seeing a 21-year-old called up, and it could be really fun, and I want the best for him, and I'm going to be very excited to watch if he's in the lineup tonight. But you don't have a lot of other options. Something to consider as well.
Nah, you're only as good as your options. Remember that, boys, when you're out there dating. Right, you're only as good as your options, okay?
What does that even mean?
Hey, it means a lot. They get it. They get it, Stace. you're only as good as your options. So, and here's the intriguing part about this is that you mentioned Sam Haggerty, right? People are asking about Bliss. You got Samad there as well. We've seen Samad, and I think he got a double, or he did square it up once or twice while he was up. None of those guys are going to save the day. So it's not like you're making moves in desperation to say, we need you to save us. It's not like what in 2020, 2021, where we're hearing about Julio and we're anticipating. No, honestly, before this went down, I barely heard of this young man. No knock to him. I'm just not one of those dudes looking through the minors trying to figure out who's going to come up next. I'll let Curtis in the text lines throw a name out there, then I'll go Google him and then do some research. I mean, I'm not digging that deep. So because I'm not digging that deep, the average fan isn't digging that deep. You shouldn't have high expectations for this guy, but I'm happy for him. I love moments like this because you got a 21-year-old who's going to make his debut, and who knows what you're going to get out of him. But if he comes up and fails, I'll look for him again in a couple years and say, all right, how much better have you gotten?
Speaking of kind of improving this team, while Bump and I said we're not expecting Class A to come up and, you know, do a ton, that we're looking at the core nucleus, let's talk about what Service has been looking at. This is him talking about that transition from a spring where the offense at times was pretty hot to what he's seen so far this year.
You never know. You know, once the regular season starts, I mean, it's so different. You know, you put team together and leaving spring training and whatnot. And, you know, we had question marks, you know, where we were at defensively. And we have here in the last, you know, 7, 8, 10 games, we played very well defensively, much better. We have cleaned that up. I think the pitching-wise, we haven't walked a guy in the last two games. Can't ask for much more. And we're keeping things under control there to give our offense a chance to get going. Just hasn't got going yet.
And it needs to. It badly needs to. Like, you cannot be a team that's going to have question marks defensively and offensively, because guess what? There's nothing left. You can't have a team that's bad at so many things.
I'm like, I'm glad he cleaned that up. He says, we've been a lot better defensively. A little better defensively. Yeah. I'm like, hold on, bro.
Self-edit.
Hold on, bro. I'm looking at, see, the last two games, our pitchers have had errors.
Maybe you didn't see Luis's amazing catch.
You know, that
I don't know. That's you.
Third base, Rojas got lucky last night. France makes yesterday makes a heck of a play to save the out. I feel so bad for Service right now, man, because every single game, he's got to talk to the media. And every single game, he's got to be honest, but he also has to figure out a way to be somewhat positive with the situation, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Nothing drastic is going to change. So defensively, I guess they've been a little better. The pitching has been a little better. I'm unfortunate for Castillo. I mean, he does have that error. He did get a quality start. We're in shambles right now.
I know.
I'm really concerned.
It's not all bad news, though, so here's what I want to do. The first hour has been entirely Mariners, and we are going to wrap up the first hour with another Mariners conversation before we get to a Seahawks draft profile at the top of the hour, and this one I think you guys will be pretty excited about. There is a silver lining to all of this. I'll tell you what it is next.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're running the hurry up and don't have time for your favorite Seattle sports show, listen to the podcast on demand.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
What a thought.
Every hour, every interview, every look behind the scenes.
It's Geno Smith.
Competition brings out the best in everybody.
If I were a Seahawk fan who wasn't listening to that, I would have to hear that.
Find us on SeattleSports.com, the Seattle Sports app, or wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, it's fun.
It changes everything.
Never miss a minute of Seattle Sports, your home for the Seahawks and Mariners. Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
All right, well, I do have some good news, Bump. And that is something that listeners were very quickly texting in during the open when we were talking about everything that was going wrong with this team. Multiple people on the Mac and Jack's text line said, "You're two games back! You are two games back, and it's April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Happy tax day, everyone. Make sure you get those done today. This is something worth mentioning, and I know that it's very early, and being in first place might not mean anything right now, but it's at least worth noting that your division is really struggling. The Rangers in first place are just 500. You look at the AL East, the Blue Jays have the same record as the Rangers and are in last place because that division is just absolutely amazing. Even the AL Central has three teams outperforming the Rangers right now with the Guardians, the Royals, which are like sneaky fun. And then the Tigers. I mean, you are a division where a nice little win streak, I mean, a series sweep, you'd have to assume that the three teams in front of you struggle, can get you close to first place.
Yeah. Sounds
good. That doesn't make you feel better?
It sounds good, Stacy. No, it makes me feel better because, all right, when you, what's that saying? When you aim small, you miss small, right? So we're not looking at everybody. We're looking at the division and saying, okay, we're not in a race with everybody else. We're in a race with our division right now. If we are focusing on our race, our heat in this challenge that we're in, then, yeah, you could say you're fine. You're not playing well, but you're okay. But then you start to dig a little deeper, and you say, all right, well, how are these other teams performing, right? Mm-hmm. What things are they doing well that we're not doing well that eventually they have the opportunity to take off? I believe you pointed out Houston's dealing with injuries right now when it comes to their pitching staff, mm-hmm. right? Guess what? They're still third in the league when it comes to team batting average, right? Team batting average.
And they're fourth in home runs.
They're still fifth when it comes to on-base percentage. They are still third when it comes to slugging percentage. They are still, they're still third when it comes to OPS. So, yeah, they're sitting there fighting for their lives. They're swinging like Omar Gooding on Boys in the Hood. I know you never seen that,
that
movie
that
before, but he's sitting there, he's swinging. He's like, I'm tired of this. Neil Long is sitting there like, I don't know what to do. All right, that's what Houston Astros are doing. They're swinging right now. So we're saying, okay, eventually we expect them to the win percentages to change, the run differentials to change. And then you say, all right, well, maybe we can't worry about them. Let's worry about the Rangers. You know what, Stacy? Guess what? The Rangers are fourth when it comes to team average.
You're just
the Rangers
me
are
down.
Fourth when it comes to on-base percentage. The Rangers are ninth when it comes to slugging, and the Rangers are sixth when it comes to OPS. You look at the Mariners when it comes to all those categories, 27th or worse.
Yeah.
So, yes, you are still in this, and you are fighting, and you are staying afloat. But at some point, it's got to connect because we know when we look at these rosters for these other two teams, like, eventually they have to go. We're looking at our roster and say, we should go. I mean, numbers say they should go. You look at that roster, those rosters, and you go, there's no way they're going to continue to play like this. They got to get healthy. You're still in the fight, which is good. But we got to see some things quickly.
Yeah, think of how bad Oakland is. They have one more win than you and a better run differential.
Bam.
I could not name you three Oakland players. Shame on me.
Hey, no, it's not.
I don't know that John Fisher could either, to be fair. To be fair, I might know more Oakland players than John Fisher, owner of the team. But you're right, and it's kind of like a double-edged sword. I am giving you guys a silver lining and giving you guys an argument, if you do want to look at it and look at it fairly, that you're not by any means, in some huge hole that you've dug.
No.
You're two games back. However, as Bump said, and you're absolutely right, you can't simultaneously cling to that. Like if Jerry DePoto were to do a press conference and say, we're only two games back in the West, I would be thinking of all of those stats you just said. I would be immediately thinking, all right, but Houston and Texas have been much better offenses
mm-hmm.
than you.
Mm-hmm.
So can you only point to that?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, text lines. Cuba Gooding, not Omar Gooding. Omar Gooding was a wild and crazy kids and baby boy. Check those out, Stace. Yeah, it's.
I love that movie.
No, but did you ever watch Wild and Crazy Kids growing up?
It was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I need to Google this. I saw most Nickelodeon shows.
Omar was also on Smart Guy.
Smart Guy.
He's a smart guy. Okay, that one I've seen.
Wrong. Gooding. Sorry, guys. But yeah, it's it is a weird place to be in. I've coached teams before where we're sneaking by and we're winning games. I'm like, there's no way we should have won that game. Or we competed against a team that I'm like, there's no way we should have competed against that team. Like, you don't feel good about the situation. Then you look across your league and you say, we're still in it, but we cannot continue along this path because I know this other team is going to get better. That's just the feel right now. But again, someone says, y'all digging deep to find good things to say. No, this is just real stuff. Mm-hmm. They are only two games back. Are they playing well? Can they continue along this path and expect any type of success? Definitely not. But if you just, if you're just looking at all the negatives, which we are, and you're not at least grabbing some positive out of this situation, because this is a real positive, we're not making this up, they're still in the fight. But how much longer are you going to be able to fight like this? It's like we're fighting with one arm behind our back, swinging with the left and we're right-handed at this point. No, you can't continue to fight like this. But real talk is you're still in it.
Right. That's a really good nuanced way to say it. We are going to transition to the Seahawks coming up here. I'm going to jump to the Mac and Jack's text line to look at a little more feedback since we're not going to get back to the Mariners for a little bit. We're going to have Daniel Kramer joining us at noon, which is probably when we'll dive back in. We've got lots of questions about Jonathan Clase to ask him, as well as what's going on with this team. My biggest question, and Bump, I don't know that Daniel's going to be able or to answer this because I don't think that there's a simple answer, is whether or not there is something to take when most players are struggling. Like, if most players in your lineup are struggling, is he hearing word or rumor or anything of issues with hitting or complaints about approach or, you know what I mean? Like, what might be the issue? Is it that everyone is pressing? That's possible. It could be something that's happening.
Yeah, it could be. It's teams kind of, they take on the personality and the identity of your leaders and what's going on. Right now, this team knows that they're not hitting the ball. So everyone in that clubhouse is stressed out and pressing a little bit. They know that, you know, their ace hasn't really been their ace as of late. Mm-hmm. And when he steps on the mound, there's a different feeling. I guarantee you there's a different feeling when Miller steps on the mound right now than anybody else just because of what he's done lately. Everybody's pressing. Everybody feels the pressure. The good teams find a way just to calm themselves down and rely on their philosophy, the foundation of who they are as a ball club. Can you rely on that? And is that philosophy good enough to climb you up out of this hole that you dug yourself in? Only time will tell, but this is when they got to come together the most.
From the 360, a lack of veteran influence, then what's Haniger doing here? And at a certain point, you got to look at JP and Ty and go, well, you guys are veterans. You know, you may not be the oldest guys in the clubhouse, but there's a certain point when you go, hey, you're not this like super young team full of guys who are figuring it out anymore. Like, JP's been there. Mitch has been there. These are guys that are capable of being leaders and who have been spoken about as leaders. So I don't know that I'm pointing to lack of veteran influence. I'm looking at it now. There could be stuff influencing a clubhouse or culture, but I'm looking at it as an execution issue.
Yeah. Gig Harbor. Bum, what's the philosophy? You tell me. Keep the ball in play. You know, swing got good pitches. The same philosophy that everyone else. I'm talking about just the details in the philosophy that are the coaches are talking to these players about in their approach that obviously we don't get that information. It's deeper than just what we get when they speak to the media. Mm-hmm. That's the philosophy. Personally, I don't know. I don't wear a Mariners uniform out there and strike out and try to hit bombs and stuff.
All right, we are switching gears talking about the Seahawks. We're going to start with a draft profile of one of the more exciting players from the first round and a really fascinating stat about what's been happening at that position. Don't go anywhere.